speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The Bible asserts, and rightfully so, that it is inspired by God. The idea that it's inspired by God means that God has communicated His message to mankind. He used the Holy Spirit for the conveyance of His message, and the Holy Spirit worked in and through men in the first century. That's how we had the New Testament Scripture. And as these men spoke on the behalf of God, they gave us full truth and they gave us God's completed message. And it is important for you and me not only to understand that God has given us His Word, that the Bible is from God, but friends, you and I must understand the importance of reading and studying the Bible every single day of our lives. And as we read and study, then to make the application of the things that are taught therein to our lives in order for us to receive the forgiveness of sin, but also in order for us to maintain a relationship with our God continually throughout the course of our time here. Every word of the Bible is very important. This morning, I want us to focus upon a word, and that word is submission. And as we think in regard to submission, I want us to understand that submission to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is vital in order for us to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God. The word submission means to submit. And as we look in regard to this, submit means to be under another. And the idea of being under an individual or a group of individuals or people, if you would, identifies is that there is rule. There are individuals or there is an individual who is ruling or is higher in position than what we ourselves are. To submit is to obey, to recognize the authority that is over us and to place ourselves under that rule in complete obedience. As we think in regard to submission, it is vital for every aspect of life. For the home, take into consideration, husbands and wives are to be submissive to one another. The husband is to be submissive to the wife, to look to the needs that the wife has and to submit to her in this form or fashion. And then in like figure, the wife is to be submissive to the husband, to recognize that God has given him the role and the responsibility to be ruler or head in the house, and therefore she places herself under him. Children also, though, in the home are responsible for being submissive to their parents, to recognize that God expects the parents to rule in the home, and therefore the children willingly place themselves under their parents. This is true for home. We must be submissive in our homes. But friends, also, isn't it true for society? In society, we understand is that God is responsible for the establishment of government. And therefore, God says that we are to be submissive to those who rule over us from a governing standpoint. We are to obey the laws of the land. We are to place ourselves under the rule that these individuals represent while we are here. It also goes into the workplace. There are a number of ways, in a number of areas, that is, in society, that submission is critical for us to understand and to comply with in order for us to maintain our relationship with God. It's also true when it comes to the church. When it comes to the Lord's church, we are to be submissive to one another. We are to submit to one another during the times of worship service. I believe that this is under consideration, at least in part, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Also, though, we are to be submissive to those who rule over us in the church. In this, the elders are responsible for leading and feeding the flock. And therefore, every member of the body of Christ must submit, must place ourselves under the rule of an eldership. In order for us to recognize, to understand fully the areas that I've mentioned, submissiveness in the home, in society, and in the church, we must first understand the key individual that we must be submissive to. And friends, that individual is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our submission to Jesus Christ is so important to our relationship with our God, but also, as we would look in regard to our submission to Christ, it is important for us to be submissive to God for the sake of so many different areas as it would pertain to our life. Why? Because we need to understand that people are always looking at us. People are always looking to see if not only what we claim to be, but rather if we are indeed living up to the standards that God expects us to live according to in order for us to truly be His faithful children and to accurately represent Him as we would go throughout the course of our time here. To begin with, we need to be submissive to Christ for the sake of the lost. If you go to the context that I want us to consider as we go through this lesson this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 11 and throughout the entirety of this chapter, beginning in verse 11, Peter identifies that we are sojourners and pilgrims in this present age. A sojourner in the original language identifies one who is passing through a land. And the terminology here, the phrase pilgrim, means an individual not only who is passing through, but this person is on a journey. And the journey oftentimes is a long distance and they're headed towards a sacred place. And isn't that true when it comes to you and me as Christians? We are indeed truly passing through this earth. And we have roles and responsibilities that we must play while we are here. But still, as we are going through this earth, God wants us to understand that our true citizenship resides in heaven. In heaven above, where He is, in the eternal abode. And therefore, we are going through this looking to a sacred place that God has established for us. And as we go through this world, Peter reminds us that we are soldiers in the Lord's army. We are soldiers in the kingdom of God. And a soldier, as we would look at it not only from a biblical standpoint, but to illustrate it from a perspective that all of us can understand, we have soldiers who protect us, who protect our rights and our freedoms, who stand and lay their lives on the line on an ongoing basis to make certain that you and I are able to dwell here without the worry of fear or molestation from those who would want to do us harm. And as soldiers then in the Lord's army, you and I must serve willingly in the kingdom of God. But not only does God want us to sign on the line and to be willing participants as His soldiers, God also expects you and me to always be prepared, to be looking out to find the dangers that are lurking, that are out there looking for our soul to pull us away from God, but also to be looking out for the ways that God has prepared for us. And therefore, God calls upon us as soldiers to be prepared and to be armed to make sure that we are ready to defeat and to defend ourselves as we would go about in and throughout the course of this life. Friends, as we think in regard to what God calls us to be for the sake of those who are outside, we need to understand in like figure that God expects us to serve as witnesses to those who are outside of the body of Christ. A witness is an individual who has something to share. And they either have seen it firsthand, or in our case, we've read about the life and the teachings of Christ. And we believe 100% the things that are stated here in the Scripture. And we believe it to the point where we have obeyed Christ in baptism. And now we're seeking to live our lives faithfully as one of His children. And within us, the truth lies. And within us ought to be this excitement to go out and to share the message with others. And how do we serve as witnesses of Christ and to the lost and dying world? We need to make sure that we do so with our lives. We live a life that is an exemplary life before these individuals of really what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be Christ-like, what it means to be counted as a saint, as a child of the King of the Most High God. As we look in regard to our lives, we need to make sure that as we are living our life, that our lives are consistent with what New Testament Christianity is really and truly all about. But friends, also, not only Should we live a life that is an example of what it means to be a Christian? We need to speak up to the lost and dying world and to tell these individuals how God loves them. And also the salvation that God has prepared for every soul in Christ. And then we need to do our part, as God expects us to explain His plan of redemption and to identify the true kingdom, the Lord's church, unto these souls so that they also might have an opportunity to be led unto Christ. How are these individuals going to be able to understand the message? How are these people going to be able to really and truly see that we are serious about serving Christ? It's through our submission to Christ. And friends, you and I need to understand that these individuals, the impression that we leave upon them, really and truly will be their first impression a lot of times as to what New Testament Christianity is all about. If we are really and truly committed to the Lord and living our lives in accordance to the standards that He prescribes, that He commands us to live by, then they're going to get an accurate picture. But the truth of the matter is that if we're living a life that is hypocritical and we're claiming to be a Christian, then they're going to get a false picture and probably a false hope that if they also then would try to be as we are. We need to live in submission to Christ to begin with, as Peter defines here, for the sake of the lost, for those who do not know the Lord, that we might properly represent the Lord and that we might encourage them to become a Christian and to live a life that is acceptable before our God. But Peter goes on to identify that we need to be submissive to Christ also for the sake of the Lord. In this context, if you look to verses 13 through verse 15 and then on to verse 17, we have an obligation to obey our civil leaders. And as I stand before you today, I tell you that that can be a challenge to do. Amen? We live in an age today where there is so much evil and corruption in the world, and we see that in the news media, especially as the way in which it is in government. And in that, as God tells us to be submissive, to be obedient to our civil leaders, He wants us to understand that He's not saying that we have to like everything that they do. We can dislike the things that they might try to implement that are ungodly. We can even dislike these individuals for the stands that they would take. We can disagree with these individuals, but still at the same time, we need to respect the authority of which they represent. We need to respect the office or offices that they hold. And then we need to obey the rules or the laws that they set into order, as long as those rules or ordinances do not conflict with, do not go against the laws that God sets forth. For the sake of the Lord, we need to be submissive to Christ, but also we must be submissive to those who rule over us. As we think about for the sake of the Lord also, we have a commandment in this context and in the broader context of Scripture to honor all people. To honor all people means that we are to respect our fellow man. In this context too, I believe that He's looking to the world. I believe that when He says that we are to honor everyone or all people, He's not speaking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He gets into that later into this context, which I believe is our next point. In this immediate setting, I believe He's speaking about the world. And therefore, when He says that we are to honor all people that are in the world, what's He saying? I believe He wants us to understand that we need to love our fellow man. And that too can be easier said than done. Why? Because not everyone treats us with love and respect. Amen? And therefore, a lot of times when we're not treated with love and respect, what do we want to do? We want to repay them the same way in which maybe they're treating us. And that's not the way that true Christians act. That's not the way that submission to Christ responds. Submission to Christ loves the soul and treats everyone fairly in spite of the way in which we might be being treated by these individuals. This is not something that God suggests, but rather, friends, this is what God commands of you and me. And then Peter goes on in this context in verse 17 to identify that we have a responsibility to love the brotherhood. The love that we must have for one another throughout the brotherhood is an agape love. We are also to have a phileo love, the city of brotherly love. I'm going to mention that, and I trust that most, if not all of us, will know that is Philadelphia. And guess what Philadelphia is named after? The Greek term phileo. And in that phileo, and in fact, if you look to the roots of Philadelphia, it is brotherly love. Living in the Northeast for about 6 years, John and I would visit Philadelphia from time to time, and I say you've got to look really hard to find brotherly love there, at least among some of them. Very rude, some people. But phileo is brotherly love. It's where we prefer one another. It means that we treat one another well. The other Greek word that I mentioned a minute ago is agape love. And agape love is sacrificial, never-ending love. It says that I'm willing to give my all to you. It says that I'm willing to lay myself on the line to show you, to demonstrate, to tell you exactly how much I love and appreciate you. And God says that this is the type of love that we must have for the brotherhood. Congregationally, we must love one another to this end. Also, locally, throughout the brotherhood, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our sister congregations, we must express and we must show our brothers and sisters locally how much we love and appreciate them, but then also universally. And sometimes it's so hard for us to express our love universally because a lot of times we don't know those who are in the church universally. And yet at the same time, I'm reminded about our missionaries who go out and about this congregation here at East End. We support a number of missionaries, and we're at that stage now. The latter part of the year, it seems like a lot of our missionaries want to come and do their reports. And that's where they connect us with the great works that they are involved in and showing us faces, showing us conversions, showing us great members throughout the world. And in this, we are to have a love that says we are so grateful for the great things that are going on throughout the brotherhood universally. And we need to show our love by praying for the great things that are going on in the kingdom of God. But you know, it's also very important for us to point out that Peter identifies here in verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2, we are charged to fear God at all times. The fear for God is to have a respect for God. And our respect for God must be above any respect that we will have for mankind. Why do I say that? Because if we have a respect for our fellow man that is superior to our respect for God, guess who we're going to serve? We're going to end up serving one another. We're going to end up serving another man. But our respect for God must be above the respect that we have for any individual who ever has or ever will walk upon the face of this earth. And therefore, we are submitting ourselves fully over to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to respect or to fear God, friends, also means that we are to revere God. The word revere and reverend go hand in hand. I know the way that the denominational world, especially in Roman Catholicism, like to use that word reverend. I've walked into some banks and places that locally has gotten to know me as preacher. And to begin with, whenever we first moved here, those in the denominations who worked at some of these institutions would say, "Reverend Key, how are you today?" And I'm like, "I'm not a reverend, I'm a preacher." And they said, "That's what I said." I said, "No, you call me reverend." They said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Well, that's a term that Roman Catholics use, and they use it wrongly. And I said, "Did you know that the only time that reverend appears in the Bible, it speaks of God, and I'm not God?" Boy, when I say that, they don't call me reverend anymore. We are to revere God. He is the one who is worthy of our worship. He is the one that we need to constantly keep our minds wrapped around. Why is that important? Because we are submitting to Christ. And if we are submitting to Christ and revering and fearing God, then we're going to make sure that we obey our civil leaders and keep it in check with the way in which God expects us to. We're going to have a proper honor for our fellow man, and then we're going to love our brothers and sisters in Christ to the way in which our God commands us to. And therefore, we need to submit to Christ for the sake of the Lord, knowing that the Lord is watching us and that we will be held accountable before our God. But friends, also in this context, in verse 18, Peter identifies that we need to submit to Christ for the sake of ourselves. In what way, Peter? To begin with, as he speaks about for the sake of ourselves, friends, he says that we should be submissive to our masters in all fear. Masters. We're not slaves, are we? All that's been done away with. In the first century, there was the slave and the master, and they had a huge responsibility to one another, especially those who were in Christ. The slaves were to render themselves as obedient slaves, as servants to those who ruled over them, who were giving them food, shelter, and clothing, who were providing for their needs, and that they, in a lot of cases, belonged to. They'd been purchased by that individual. Whether it was right or whether it was wrong, that's up for argumentation all day long, in that context, in that setting, that is. But as we look in regard to not only the slave, the master also had a responsibility to treat fairly those who were working for him. How would all of this apply to you and me today? I believe that we have the employer and the employee relationship that certainly it would apply to. As employers, employers need to make certain that they treat their employees with fairness, is that they respect them and that they pay them an honest day's wage for a hard day's work. And if they're not doing that, then they need to go back and to reevaluate the situation and to say, am I really and truly being the type of an employer that would glorify God? That would say, I am certainly appreciative to these individuals that I've hired to come in and to produce whatever product or whatever service that I'm hiring them to produce. Would God be pleased with me? And am I shining as a light into the lost world in regard to what a true employer in Christ should represent? But what about the employees? The employees in like figure need to appreciate and to honor their employers and to say that, you know, I'm grateful that this individual sees in me someone who is beneficial and someone who is going to be able to be productive for them. And therefore, not only do they see these things, I need to go in and to make sure that every single day, while I am employed by this employer, I'm going to give my 100% best. Why? Because that's what they deserve and that's also what they expect. But friends, above that, we are submitting to Christ. We recognize that our submission to Christ ought to lead us and to drive us to that end. Why? Because Christ gave His 100% while He was here in all things. And therefore, we need to do in like figure. And I find it important here is that Peter says, in all fear or with fear. The slave in those days would have been subject to punishment. The employee today might be subject to rebuke or might even be in dismissal. And therefore, we need to fear that to that end, amen? And to work in a way that will glorify our God. Our submission to Christ also, for the sake of ourselves, we should expect the unexpected from the worldly. What do I mean by that? From the world. The world does not know God the way in which you and I know God. And therefore, our lives are governed by God. The direction that we go in every single day, if it's not, it ought to be, because of the way in which we know God. The things that we say, we're going to think twice before we say it. Why? Because we are a child of God. The steps that we take, we're going to think before we take those steps. Why? Because we are a child of God and we do not want to go where God would not have us to go. But the people of the world, they don't know God. And therefore, sometimes they'll speak. And those words can be very harsh, very cruel, undeserving. And friends, we should expect the unexpected. We should expect that they're going to treat us as we may be treating them fairly. They may treat us unfairly in the world. We should always expect the unexpected. Why does Peter throw that in there, if you would? I think to tell us is that we should not have false hopes. To tell us is that we need to always keep our guard up and to say You know, while you're pouring yourself out in a great manner, still it doesn't mean that you're always going to get that same treatment. And therefore, whenever this happens, not if, but when this happens, understand is that you keep your faith and commitment to God no matter what. Understand, don't let this crush your faith in God. God saw you into that situation, He'll see you out. And even into a better situation in life if we continue to walk as His faithful children. When these times come, Peter, God, how should we conduct ourselves? We should always put forth our very best efforts, no matter what. We should always be kind, even whenever we're not kindly treated. Amen? We should always speak well of those individuals who do not necessarily speak well about us. We also, though, need to be committed. I know that whenever you might receive ill treatment from an employer or from an employee to an employer, they're not doing the way that they ought to, then the chances are is that we say, well, I'm just going to cut back. I'm not going to give them 100%. If they can't treat me the way that I feel like I need to be treated, the way even in which God says is that people ought to treat one another, then I'm going to pull back. And friends, God says that we cannot do that. God says, for the sake of ourselves and our relationship with Him, we keep on giving 100% commitment to these individuals no matter what. We are to be productive as we live in this world for the people that we are responsible to, but friends, also when it comes to the submission that we have in Christ to be productive citizens in the kingdom of our God. I find it important to point out as we think about submission to Christ is that God identifies through Peter's words that Christ is our example in obedience and in submission. How can we know what true submission is really and truly all about? Not by looking to our fellow man, but rather by looking to the man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ came to this world in submission to heaven's eternal plan to save you and me from sin, to give us God's forgiveness and our obedience to Christ in baptism, the beginning stage, if you would, of submission, and then to give us hope beyond this life, to look into the eternal realm and to know that there is a place that God has prepared for us if we will live our lives in submission to Him continually, so that we too shall be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him someday. Jesus Christ is our example of what true submission is. He knew that He was going to die on the cross, an undeserving death. But how did He respond, friends? He responded in love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did He do? He submitted unto the will of God, even to the point of death on the cross. And friends, you and I need to submit to our Lord even until we draw our last breath. Why? Because it's what God requires of us. It's what God deserves. And friends, it's also the type of life that we must lead in order for us to be able to lead others who are outside of Christ unto the hope that we have in Jesus in that day. If you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation, we want to extend that invitation to you today to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and subject to that call, we invite you,